Blog Talk.
Hello and welcome to GIST Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. GIST stands for Getting the Shit Together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creators of all kinds. For more information on GIST, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.
And hello, this is Monica. I will be your host today here at GIST Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I'm here with Linda Vallejo. She is such a sweet woman. I'm so happy to have her give us her time. She has over 30 years of experience as a grant writer, consultant, and trainer. She's a practicing professional grant writer, and she has raised more than $30 million for diverse clients across the nation. So she started off, she received her bachelor's degree in fine arts from Whittier College in 1973 and completed her undergraduate studies in lithography from the University of Madrid in Spain and received her master's of fine arts from Cal State University, Long Beach, in 1978. She's participated in selected art exhibitions, including the Natural History Museum, Craft and Folk Art Museum, Carnegie Art Museum, the Art Resource Center, Laguna Art Museum, Museum of Modern Art in New York. Come on, these are great places. Major publications in media include Contemporary Chicana and Chicano Art, Bilingual Press, Hispanic Research Center, Arizona State University, Los Angeles Times Artist Review. That was in October 2007. Southwest Art, Hispanic Business Magazine. She's worked in printmaking and sculpture, and now she focuses in painting, and her work explores issues of history, spirituality, nature, and indigenous cultures. Let's welcome Linda Vallejo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Monica.
Yes, of course. Okay, so I really want to know everything about you. I did some research, and I found out that we have several things in common besides being multifaceted, but you're also a military kid. And I was really curious in knowing about how you make the connection, if there is any, between being this transient, part of this transient military family, because we're always moving, and then like your personal identity as an artist and a writer and all the different hats that you wear. And then how in the world does that connect? Like, how did you end up as a grant writer and consultant?
Well, you know, traveling a lot as a young person, a young girl and a young person, you really get to see a lot of different parts of the world. You get to meet people from different cultures and backgrounds. You get to see all different types of walks of life. And it begins, I mean, it's the beginning. I think you know this, that a lot of people who are military kids tend to be very multifaceted. They're comfortable in just about any kind of environment and any kind of situation with people of all walks of life. And you're also interested in all those things. I mean, you find an interest in history and culture and architecture and math and art and science. Any number of things interest you because you're placed in so many different environments as a little kid that you become very curious. Anyway, that's how it turned out for me. I'm a really curious person, and I love to study all different levels and areas of life. And being an artist has helped me to consolidate all those interests into one place. I love art of all different kinds, you know, modern, ancient. I love ancient architecture and ancient ceremonial. I love architecture and all the different periods of art are of interest to me, just like the whole world is of interest to me, and I think that came from being a military kid.
Right, and so when you hold these workshops or when you decided to be a grant writer or consultant, like how did you get there, and then how do those ideas and your interests translate into the work that you do now?
Well, when I was in graduate school, I was looking for a job. You know, all graduate students are looking for a way to make a living. And I was fortunate enough to be hired by Self Help Graphics in East L.A. to be an art teacher in the elementary schools in East Los Angeles through a grant with the California Arts Council, which was giving money for artists in residence at that time. And at the end of my first year, they asked me if I wanted to do it again. Sister Karen Bocalero asked me, do you want to teach again, Linda? I said, sure. She said, well, if you want to, you're going to have to write your own grant. So I started writing grants at Self Help Graphics in the late 1970s. and found my way into it, found out that I could write. I guess that's what I learned out of graduate school. And I began writing for self-help graphics and then moved on to the Long Beach Civic Light Opera, Long Beach Ballet, and on to several different organizations throughout Southern California especially. And I think that my background as a military, my upbringing as a military child, really helped me to feel compassion and interest in all different types of organizations and all different types of efforts. So when I teach my course, I really feel that I'm reaching out to a broader world. And because I lived in a broader world as a younger person, it fulfills me personally to be involved with people from all different walks of life. And then, of course, as a grant writer and a grant writing instructor and consultant, you get to work with a lot of very interesting people, a lot of very valuable and meaningful efforts. And in that way, you can really feel that you're making a contribution to the world at large.
Right. And, you know, I think that one of the most important things that artists have to understand is that you don't always have to sell work in a gallery. You don't always have to follow, like, a kind of vertical pathway through this society, especially, like, in art. And so I think that you're a hybrid artist or a tribrid or a quadrid kind of artist. And so do you
like
consider,
you.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you consider, like, each of the things that you do or participate in separate focuses, or they're definitely related, but, like, how do you relate them?
Well, that's an interesting question. I call it alchemy.
Mm-hmm.
it's an alchemic process where you're placing many different influences and inspirations into one pot and melding them together to make a life. And I've made a life out of being an artist, out of being a grant writer, out of being a world traveler, and I'm married with children. And I also have a ceremonial life in the Chicano indigenous community here in Los Angeles. And the interesting thing is that they feed unto each other. My indigenous life and the time that I spend with Native Americans has really been inspirational to me in my work. And right now, as a matter of fact, I'm working for a project out of CSUSB to do some historic preservation for Native American Indian groups, too. It sort of feeds back in itself and weaves back into itself so that each part of my life influences and inspires the other. And the alchemic process can be when you come up with gold, that's really a nice thing. It takes a lot of time, though. You have to spend time weaving your life together so that if you have multiple interests or multiple concerns or multiple talents, that you take the time to be able to weave it together into one fabric so that the life really makes sense.
Right, and so tell the artists that are listening, like, what are some of the tips that you have for making sure that it weaves cohesively and that things are lining up and that you're not going insane or schizophrenic? Like, how do you manage your careers?
Well, I think it's important not to make too many choices, but to make the best choices, make the most solid choices. Don't make choices that are made for you by other people, but make choices that really come from you, from inside of you, that matter to you and that mean something to you personally. The first step is really to know yourself. You need to know yourself and what your final goals are in life. And this takes a lot of meditation and process and thinking and patience. It takes a great deal of patience. So once you have a sense of what really moves you, then you need to make very, very careful choices. And then after you make your choices, you need to stick with them long enough for the alchemic process to take place. You have to wait and be patient and work through them. It's like choosing to suddenly, you decide that you're really interested in doing oil painting. Well, you can't say that I'm really interested in oil painting and then give it 20 minutes or even 20 days or 20 weeks and expect process to really happen. You have to give yourself a good piece of time. I tend to plan things in 5 and 10 year increments. I make plans for 5 or 10 years in advance. Right now I'm working on a new series of paintings called The Electrics, and I've dedicated 5 years to see what I can uncover with it. So it's really patience in the process and choosing very well. And also, there's a big part of being an artist and also of being a planner in your life, and that's actually taking the time to think things through, to plan things through carefully. I think a lot of people are impatient with that. They want things to just sort of happen, but you have to really make things happen in a way where they make sense all the way through and through.
Right, absolutely. And so let's talk about Electrics. Like, what do these paintings look like? Like, what What are they inspired by?
Well, these pieces are inspired by hippie psychedelia, spiritual vision search, and digital imagery. And it's sort of a combination. They tend to be a culmination, talk about the alchemic process, of about 30 years of painting. And, you know, going through being a hippie myself in the 60s and then spending the last 30 years in spiritual vision search, and then all of us sitting in front of a computer for days on end, hours on end, all of a sudden it melds together into an image. And they're very electric. They're sort of, they're very electric in color, and they also make your eyes sort of pop and move. I've been doing some very large portraits, a la Chuck Close, with really bright colors, just very shiny sort of surfaces. And some people relate them to Huichol beadwork and yarn work and all of the kind of indigenous, worldwide indigenous work where you have small pixelated patterns. And even musicians have looked at them and said that they hear music when they look at the paintings. So they sort of pop off the page, sort of, they're sort of pop, they are pop. They kind of remind you of Andy Warhol as well. I kind of think that they're a combination or a culmination of many years of looking at art for me. I'm really, really pleased with the images, and I'm electrifying people, I'm electrifying nature, I'm electrifying any number of things at this point. Apparently anything can be electrified.
Right, absolutely. And so what is your goal as a visual artist?
The Hirshhorn, dead or alive. Well, my goal is to produce the highest quality work that I'm capable of at any given moment, to be very prolific, to produce a great deal of work at all times, to be able to enjoy looking at a barrage of different types of work from all different centuries and styles, and be able to compile that into some type of imagery that makes sense through the filter of my being, of my experience, to exhibit as often as possible in shows with curators that I enjoy working with and who enjoy me, to publish as often as possible, to travel with my work both nationally and internationally, and to enjoy the process, to enjoy being an artist, and then, of course, to do the Hirshhorn, dead or alive.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's great. So then what are your goals as a grant writer and a consultant? I mean, you've got your workshops, you have your students and your clients. Like, how do you approach their needs for funding? And how do you go about, like, what is your workshop about?
Oh, gee, the agency grant writing seminars, I've been teaching them since, 1985 with the Learning Annex in Los Angeles. I've been teaching online, the A to Z grant writing seminars offered online in 2,000 colleges and universities nationwide on the Internet. And recently I was teaching nationally as well through the Grant Institute, where I traveled all over the nation with the seminar. And now I'm affiliated with Loyola Marymount University Extension here in Marina Del Rey, where I teach a four-day intensive seminar. I'm actually in the middle of one right now. The seminar itself teaches individuals and organizations, representatives of organizations, to research for good match potential funders and organize that research, to organize development offices, including filing systems that allow them to keep track of all the information that's needed, a development report, a development plan. It teaches them to organize a development team out of their staff as well as interns and volunteers. It also teaches students how to work with collaborative partners, how to build partnerships and how to work with them to be able to raise better amounts of money. It teaches them how to communicate with funding sources, how to develop positive relationships with them, how to telephone them, how to speak with them in public, how to know what the funder wants. And then, of course, it teaches them how to put together a complete proposal package from top to bottom, including what the need statements, measurable objectives, evaluation plans, and also proposed program budgets. So it's called A to Z because it's a bird's eye view of the entire process from the beginning to the end, first step first, last step last. And it's really wonderful to be a part of the process where organizations actually step up and diversify their funding bases, which is the focus of the whole seminar. And these days, nonprofits have to do more of that than ever before. They have to get government funding as well as foundation and corporate funding. They have to have individual donor campaigns and membership campaigns. And they also have to start looking at fees for service as well as sales opportunities. Everybody's going to have to get pretty creative about how to bring funds in and support in from diverse streams to be able to survive and thrive in the 21st century. It's a big deal, and I'm really proud to be a part of it because a lot of the organizations that are represented are organizations, I mean, I can't do all the work. You know, you have so many different needy programs and communities in need that it's really good to be a part of their growth and about their sustainability.
Right, and what are your best, maybe top three or four tips on how to find that creativity, to find the funding, to fulfill, you know, whatever these projects or ideas are? Like, what are your, like, top three tips? Linda?
Yeah, Monica.
Hey.
I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
No problem.
One of the first and most important tips that I would have for nonprofit organizations, as well as individual artists looking for funds and support for their programs, is to reach out to their community. This, I think, is the top most important point. If you don't reach out to your community and let them know what you're doing, introduce your program efforts and your exhibition needs or desires or your individual needs for support for artistic programs and projects, you're not going to find the support that you need. So reaching out and talking to people who care about the issue that you're working to raise funds for, I would think, is the very top tip that I would give to anybody. If you're afraid to reach out, collaborate with someone who will reach out with you, who will partner with you to reach out to a community. A lot of people are afraid of looking or reaching out because they think that they're begging or asking for money. But really what they're doing is they're asking for support and building partnerships for the sake of a project, a meaningful project, whether it's through an organization or an individual. So this would be the first tip that I would give to anyone who wants support for big projects. Secondly, I would say that researching for really good match potential funders is something that I find a lot of my students don't do. What they do is they wait until someone sends them an email and says, you should try for this grant. And that's really what you don't want to do. Because a lot of times you're halfway through the proposal and then you realize that it's really not a good match for what you're doing. A good match funder is really someone who cares about what you're doing and has funded programs and projects similar to it in the past and also that fund in your area. So doing the research, and, you know, the Foundation Center downtown has a great library right there in the north of the, it's on Alameda, just north of the Terminal Annex in the California Endowment Building. And you can go in there and the librarian will help you search and pinpoint good match potential funders that will really support you in what you're doing. The last thing that I would suggest is to be organized. This is something that I find in the nonprofit arena as well as with individual artists that really needs a lot of work. People need to organize their materials so that they can submit. You have to be well organized and professional and prepared to be able to respond. When people really do show an interest, you want to be ready to rock and ready to roll.
Absolutely. So now I'm wondering, what have been some of the mistakes or pitfalls among your many years or, you know, couple of decades of working and being an artist? Like, what are some of the things, the mistakes that you've made and learned from?
Well, when I was in graduate school, no one told me how important mentors were. I wish that I knew about the importance of mentors when I had been a young artist. It's really important to reach out to those individuals that are accomplishing what you want to accomplish that will allow you to become friends and who will share their resources with you. Now, even at this late stage in the game, I am reaching out and finding mentors that are helping me know how to negotiate properly or know how to reach out to work with museums for exhibitions, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say one of the very first things that I wish I had known about when I was young was really about mentoring. Find mentors and work with mentors who can help guide you through this jungle of opportunities and resources. The other thing that I would say is pedigree. This is one thing I would say to young people, and I say it a lot actually, is that if you have a chance to go to the best art school around, do it. Even if you have to sacrifice to make it happen, do it. Because out there in the real world, pedigree really matters a lot. And there's a lot of smaller art schools that are good schools that, you know, really you really learn a lot at. But if I had had a chance to go to a really top-notch art school, I think I would have been farther along in the world now. I also would say to start publishing your work as soon as possible. There's an on-site publication opportunity. You can publish one book or you can publish 1,000 of them. It's called blurb.com, B-L-U-R-B. Two B's like in boy, and you can publish your images and publish your work into book form, which is really meaningful and very useful when approaching galleries and museums for opportunities to exhibit. There's any number of things I could say. Well, another one would be to begin researching what it means to be in sales, to sell your artwork. A lot of artists are afraid of sales for some reason. I'm not really sure why. I always say that I like to find homes for my pieces, and I'm pretty successful in doing it because I know that there's collectors out there that really do love to collect, and they love good works of art. Why shouldn't you be among the people that they include in their collection? So reaching out and reading books and finding people who, mentors, who can understand what sales are about, who can share some of the techniques with you to provide service to good collectors is a very meaningful thing to get to as soon as possible. Get into sales, reach out to your community, publish a book, get some mentors, and get out there and get shaken.
Absolutely. All right, Linda, tell us about your website. Plug everything that you do and are, because we want our listeners to find you.
Oh, thank you. My art website is at lindavallejo.com, L-I-N-D-A, B like in Victor, A-L-L-E-J-O.com. You can see all of my new works, including The Electrics, and you can see my upcoming shows. I have an upcoming one-woman show at Avenue 50 Studio with Kathy Gallegos. It's going to be curated by Dr. Karen Mary Davalos in spring of 2011. I'm up right now at the Marsden Cultural Arts Center in Gadsden, Alabama. I'm presenting a one-woman of A Prayer for the Earth out there through November the 15th. And in 2012, I'm going to be at the Southwest Museum in Texas. Also involved in a couple of projects I'm really proud of, Doing It in Public, Art and Feminism at the Women's Building. It's going to be opening at the Ben Maltz Gallery in 2011 as a part of the Getty Research Initiative called Pacific Standard Time Art in Los Angeles, 1945 to 1980. And I'm also a part of a process funded by the Getty to showcase L.A. art history between 1945 and 1980 in conjunction with UCLA's Chicano Studies Research Center. So if you go to my website at lindavallejo.com, you'll see all of these upcoming events, and you can see more of the images, and I would love to hear responses from anybody about the work. Then you can also find me on atozgrantwriting.com, A-T-O-Z, grantwriting.com. That's my grant writing website. You can click on that and see all the upcoming seminars and workshops that are available for individuals as well as for nonprofit arts and any other type of group, actually. My evaluations are there. Pictures of my students are there. Resume and references and fees and opportunities are all present on that website. So you can always see what's going on with A to Z grant writing.
Unbelievable. You are phenomenal. Okay.
Oh,
my goodness.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that concludes our interview with Linda Vallejo. And we'll be posting this everywhere, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Linda, thank you so much for your time.
Monica, it's been a pleasure, Monica. Thank you so much for inviting me. You're such a doll.
Absolutely. You're great. All right. Well, have a great afternoon, and we'll be in contact.
Can't wait. Good luck, everybody.
And that concludes our show here at Gist Inc., Gist Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Wait, does anyone ever tune in anymore? Thanks for listening. Thanks for clicking and listening to the audio. I'm Monica. I was your host, and We'll see you on the next installment of Just Radio. We've got some really cool interviews coming up, so don't forget to check us out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present
Hello and welcome to Just Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. Just stands for getting the shit together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creatives of all kinds. For more information on Just, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.